Let us now turn our Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. When you become a Christian, you are in a relationship. And of course, that relationship is with God. And in any relationship, there must be communication, right? You must talk with the other person. No communication, no relationship. Talking with the other person with whom you have a relationship is important to build relationships. And it's the same with God. He's our God. He's our Father in heaven. We are His children. We are His people. And God desires for us to talk to Him. And He also delights in speaking to us. Of course, today it's no longer through visions and dreams or through His voice. Now His voice is through His written word, the Holy Scriptures. And when you read the Scriptures, when we read the Scriptures just now, it's as good as God speaking to us directly. Right? We are hearing His voice through His word. So, we must pray. As Christians, we need to pray. We must pray. God wants us to pray to Him. So in this passage, we learn about prayer. We learned what kinds of prayer there are. We learned for whom we ought to pray. We learned about why we must pray. So the what, the whom, and the why over here. First, the what. In verse 1, we read over here, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, this verse must be read in context of the previous chapter, because it says here, Paul says, I exhort therefore. Right? So the therefore here reminds us of what has gone on before, what he has taught. And it goes back to verse 18, to this charge that God gave to Timothy. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And we have already studied this earlier, how we are all in God's military service. As Christians, we are engaged in a warfare. We are in battle. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We know that. We are fighting against spiritual forces in high places. So how to fight? Our weapons are not carnal. We don't use rifles or sabers or missiles or bombs, right? We don't have a stock of these things in our storeroom. In our storeroom, we have the keyboard here, we have our hymn books, we have other things, but not such weapons. And what are the weapons we need to engage in this warfare? They are spiritual weapons. And we can read of these spiritual weapons in Ephesians chapter 6. But there's one thing also we need, right? And that is prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we are told over here, if we will remind ourselves, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in verse 18, after giving all the spiritual equipment, the armory that we need, Paul here says in verse 18, after having all these things, don't forget to pray. Keep on praying, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying. So a spiritual weapon of prayer is so needed, so needful, if we are going to fight successfully and victoriously. We need to talk to God. We need to seek His grace, His help. We cannot fight without Him. If we fight without God, we surely will lose. But if we fight with God and God fights for us, we are sure to win. So here, what are the kinds of prayers that we need to engage in? We find the aspects of prayer over here. Paul gives a list. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving, right? Be made for all men. So there are four over here. Four aspects of prayer. First is supplication. Supplication. What is supplication? Now, in the original, in the Greek, this word has the idea of necessity. Necessity. We pray for our needs, for our daily needs, for our daily necessities, just like what we prayed just now, right? When we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God wants us to pray, to ask from Him what we need daily in our lives. And that's a very comforting thought, because our Father, you know, is watching over us day by day. Every day is important to Him, all right? We are important to Him every day. It's not, all right, I look at you, I look out for you, I watch over you just once a month or once a year. You make your appointment and I will do my schedule. And I have so many people to take care of, so you can only have my attention once a month or once a year. Not like that at all. Give us this day our daily bread. We have an appointment with God every day, and God wants to meet with us also every day. He's interested in our daily lives and our daily activities. So what are the struggles you are going through in life daily? And every day may be different. So you pray to Him every day. You know what is coming. Many challenges, personal struggles, difficulties, hard decisions to make. Do you just wake up in the morning and say, all right, let me face the day on my own? That will be to your own detriment. Every day you wake up, you praise the Lord. And then you know many trials and troubles you may be facing. Cast all your cares unto the Lord. Pray to him daily. Commit everything to him in prayer. He is interested to help us in our daily needs, to provide for what we need to help us get through the day in a godly manner, not in a sinful manner. If we are left to our own human thinking and own human feelings, we may sin against God. When we deal with the things, the temptations and the trials, the troubles of the day, we want to go through the day in a godly, holy manner. How to do it? You must pray unto the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Because food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter, all these things the Lord knows we need, and we can also ask and seek all these things. And really, the Lord is very good to us, especially here in Singapore, right? We have plenty. We are well provided for, aren't we? We have 3 square meals a day. How many of you here can say, oh, I'm starving? You know, sometimes we miss breakfast or we miss just one meal, we say we are starving. Well, you do not know what is starvation until you go to countries that really have no food. But we are well provided for. It's all by the grace of God. He grants to us our daily needs. And if we have all this, we must not forget to thank him. Thank you, Lord. And it's good for us, that's why, to say a thanksgiving prayer, right? Before we eat each time. To say grace. Yes, our daily needs, but more importantly, our daily spiritual needs. We must pray for these things. More faith, O Lord, in Thee. More hope in Thee. More love for Thee. Do we pray for these things? Many a time we pray for the things that are material, right? But we must pray for the things spiritual, the spiritual things we need. And the Lord enjoins us to do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's not just physical needs, but I submit to you, they include spiritual needs as well. So when I visit our members in the hospital and they're sick, I just visited one member who has been diagnosed with cancer. He's now in hospital. What do I pray for? Of course, we want to pray the Lord will be gracious to heal. But more importantly, we must pray. The Lord gives that spiritual strength, right? We need spiritual muscle to hold us up during this time of emotional distress. I mean, when you hear that you have terminal cancer or you have cancer, whatever stage it may be, you know, it's very distressing. You can get easily discouraged and depressed. And sometimes we may be tempted to question God or to blame him. And if we do that, we sin with our lips. That's not good for us. Well, how we need the grace of God, the wisdom of God, to remember who he is. Why such things happen. And we know that things don't happen by chance. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Lord, why? Why is there this suffering that I'm now going through? What is the good that will come out of it? We don't know. We don't have all knowledge God has. And God says, you ask me. You need wisdom. You ask from me and I will give you liberally, generously. so that you might be helped and built up in the faith. And yes, each time you pray such a prayer, God will surely answer. God will give. God will say yes, because that is His will. That is His promise to us in such times. You pray for healing, that you get well, all the tumor will disappear. Yes, the Lord can do that, but not always. Not always. Sometimes it may be God's will for us, right, to be home with Him. He wants to take us home, and His will be done. But when you ask for spiritual grace, Lord, more faith, more hope, more love, He will surely give it to you abundantly so that you will be filled with His peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And then you know how to cope day by day, the physical pain and suffering you may be going through. So this involves supplication, right? We pray to God for ourselves, for our daily needs, both physical and spiritual. And yes, when you seek God in this way, God will help you and God will provide for you. The second thing we read over here is prayers, right? Prayers. So supplications and prayers. Now we know that prayer is a general term. And over here, all right, the word prayer comes from the Greek word prosuke. Prosuke sounds like prosecute. And what does it mean to prosecute? When you pray, you are prosecuting. And to prosecute means to pursue. To pursue in order to obtain. And this tells us that prayer must be persistent. You pursue after the Lord. You persist in prayer. And prayer must be fervent. Prayer must be earnest. Prayer must be intense. You are seeking after the Lord. You're wrestling in prayer, just like Jacob wrestled with God and would not let Him go until God gave to him what he sought and asked for. Just like, you know, the parable of the widow, the importunate widow. Importunate means persistent. Persistent widow who went to this unjust judge seeking for justice. And this unjust judge did not fear God at all and cared not for men. But because the widow persisted in asking, pleading to this judge for justice, eventually, right, he gave in. How much more our God, who is not unjust? He's a God who is very just, righteous, God of justice. Will He not mete out good judgment to help you and deliver you in your time of need when you persist in seeking His help, His justice, His deliverance? He will surely help you. When you pray to Him in this way, fervently, earnestly, persistently, persevering in prayer to pursue righteousness, to pursue in order to obtain His goodness, justice, and truth. Surely God will give. But we must do so with fervency, right? So the word prayers here have to do with this kind of a praying. And the word prayer over here, prosuke, has the idea also of worship. It means when you pray, make sure you pray to the right person. And there's only one person you ought to pray to, and that is God. Because prayer is part and parcel of worship. We don't worship anything. We don't worship any man. We worship only God, right? Because He alone deserves worship. He alone can hear and answer prayer because He's able, being all-powerful. Human beings are not all-powerful. They cannot do everything or anything. You pray to animals. What can the animals do for you? You pray to an idol that's made of wood or clay or metal. Do they have eyes to see, ears to hear, mouth to speak, hands that can move? They cannot. They are dead objects. You pray only to the living and true God. It's foolish to pray to any other person or thing. So, and we pray to God because we want to worship Him. Lord, You are the only one whom I must bow my knee and seek Your grace and help and salvation, because You are the only Savior of the world. You control everything in this world. You control everything that happens in this world. And in my life, I need to commit myself and surrender myself totally unto You. My life is Yours. So when we pray, and it says here, when we ought to pray in such a way, fervently, earnestly, worshipfully, with full 100% surrender and commitment to God. That's how we ought to pray. And so don't pray, right? Don't pray to any man. Don't pray to the Pope. The Pope is coming to town. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to the apostles or the prophets. Don't pray to the saints or the church fathers. Don't pray to me. Don't pray to your pastor. You can pray for him. You don't pray to him. Neither do I pray to you. I pray for you. Pray only to God. So this word teaches us what prayer must be, right? And to whom we ought to pray. Very important. And if we are praying to God, then we must always remember to pray that His will be done. And again, that's what the Lord has taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that tells us how when we pray to God, we must pray in faith. And what is the greatest faith you can exercise? Greatest faith you can exercise is when you pray. You may have certain desires in your heart and you want to tell the Lord what you want, but ultimately, right? Your prayer must be, Lord, not my will, my wish, but Thy will, Thy desire, right, and purpose be done in my life. That's the greatest prayer you can make, that kind of a prayer of faith, Thy will be done. So supplications, prayers, and then the next one is intercession. Intercessions be made for all men. And what is intercession? Intercession is simply praying for others. We pray for ourselves, right? Intercession, we pray for others. And that's an important part of prayer. We want to pray for one another. Because, you know, again, being Christians, we are in a relationship, not only with God, but we are in a relationship with one another, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Members of God's family, citizens of heaven. So we must pray for one another. We are told to love one another. What is one of the ways whereby we love one another is we pray for one another, right? We remember one another in prayer. So let us also learn to pray for others. And this is what we are told in James, also chapter 5, right? In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read over here. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we are to pray for one another, for our spiritual well-being. And that's what we do. Well, in our worship service, the pastoral prayer is intercessory. We pray for one another, the sick, the infirmed, those who are suffering, those in need. We pray for our children. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for others. That's important. We don't live alone. We live in a community. And that community is not just here in this local church. There are others as well. In the communion of saints, we pray for one another. And not only must we pray in such a way to supplicate, to pray, to pursue, right, in order to obtain and also to pray for others, in our prayers, we must not forget to give thanks, right? So the next part of prayer is this, the giving of thanks, right? So supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is so important. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we read over here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So when we supplicate, we give to God our petitions, we pray, we intercede for others, make sure that in all our prayers, there is thanksgiving. It's good always to thank God, no matter what. So here we are told, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, our spirit, right, must be right. The heart attitude must be right when we pray. We don't want to pray to God with a bad spirit, a complaining, murmuring spirit. We must pray to God with a spirit of gratitude. Lord, no matter what happens, I'm grateful to you for all that you have done for me. You remember the past, how God has been gracious, merciful to you, helped you, right? Protected you, provided for you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And you cannot stop giving thanks to God. The problem with us is we often forget. God requires us to remember. And gratitude, right? The hallmark of gratitude is remembrance, remembering. And then remember also to say thank you, to thank the Lord. That is very important, because unthankfulness is a feature, a characteristic of an evil age. We don't want to be an unthankful people. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we are told over here, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Because of all these things. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Don't know how to say thank you. We must be a people who must know how to say thank you, especially to God. A heart of thanksgiving. And when you have a heart of thanksgiving, then you will not have a complaining or murmuring or grumbling spirit. You'll always be grateful. Not just in good times, but also in bad times. You know how to say thank you, Lord. And if you know how to say that, then you understand God deeply. You are surrendering your life to Him. You understand what it means. All things work together for good. All things means good things, bad things. Right? Good times, bad times. All things work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. And thanksgiving is also something that is very remarkable, something we must learn right now, because thanksgiving is something that will go on and on and on without end. You know, the other forms of prayer, supplications, intercessions, one day will cease when all of us are in heaven, when perfection comes, when God wipes away all tears from our eyes, right? When this world is over and is past, and we are in our eternal state, in the new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem, then supplications, intercessions will end. But thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, will go on and on and on, because we cannot stop thanking the Lord for what we have received, right? So graciously from Him. Thanksgiving is something that is eternal. And we have to learn to be grateful and thankful from now, from this present time. Don't wait till then. It's good for us to thank God, right? From now and until forevermore. And then the Lord will be pleased with us. And that's what we learn also from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us how this is God's will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we are told, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right? This is the will of God. So I pray we are a people, right, full of thanksgiving. And that's why at our prayer meeting, we have a time of testimony and thanksgiving. We have half an hour of Bible study, half an hour of thanksgiving, testimony thanksgiving, and some can share their prayer items and half an hour of prayer and intercession. We intercede for one another also at prayer meetings. And when God has helped us or healed us, provided for us, preserved us, hearing our prayers, we must not forget to thank the Lord. We cannot keep quiet. As our late founding pastor often at prayer meeting will say, you don't give thanks, you will not be able to sleep tonight. So it's good to say, thank you, Lord, and to testify, because that brings also encouragement to the believers, right? And it will edify. So when you give thanks, you are serving the Lord. So let us learn to give thanks. Let us not hold back. Learn how to say thank you for big things, for little things. Yes, we say thank you, Lord. So this is the what, right? The next one is the whom. For whom should we pray? Now over here in 1 Timothy, we are told, we pray for our king, right? Our government. It says here, prayer must be made for all men. And then for kings and for all that are in authority. We pray for all. And that means we don't only pray for our own fellow members, our fellow believers. We must also pray for unbelievers. All that are in this world, whether believers or unbelievers. And that includes whom? For kings and for all that are in authority, for those in government. Now, why did Paul write, after saying prayers must be made for all men, and then specifically in the next verse, speak of praying for our king, right? Or those in authority, those who rule over us. Why? Because I think, you know, those in government are people we love to hate, don't we? We just don't like being ruled over. And in the time of Paul, in those days, who was ruling? Caesar, the Romans. Caesar is a very ungodly man, godless, wicked, evil also. No regard for God. And yet Paul here says, we pray for them. And they were, you know, the Jews at that time, the believers at that time were under, right, the authority of the Roman government. And often they were treated badly. Still, you must pray for them. Pray for them. And we must pray for our rulers, our governors, our leaders, those in authority. Why? Because God is the one who has put them there. And we are told by Paul, right, in Romans 13, we must honor those in authority. We honor them, we honor the Lord. And pray for them. And why do we pray for them? So that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because those in authority have power. And they have power to do good. They have power also to do evil. So we must pray for our government. Now that they have been vested with this authority, and that authority comes from God, they will rule with the fear of God in their hearts. they will rule well. They'll rule honestly. And really seeking to care for the people, to help them. Not for themselves. We know that there are governments that are very corrupt. And all fighting to get the top position or to be in government. To line their own pockets. And there are countries where the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. Those who are very rich are those in authority. It's a sad situation. But nonetheless, Christians in such countries must pray all the more for their kings and governors, that the Lord will govern their hearts. They will have a conscience. And they will rule in such a manner that the people can enjoy peace. Right? We Christians might live in peace and peaceably. And this is something that is to be desired. Peace is something we need, really. Because if there's no peace in the land, no peace in the church, things will not work. Things will be hindered. Good things we want to do will be hindered. You're putting a spoke in the wheel. It will not turn. There'll be friction. You want to work, you want to do things, you're like swimming against the current. You put in all the effort, but you're still at square one. When there's no peace, many distractions, you cannot concentrate on doing that which is needful and right and good. You're always backpedaling. And no one gains. No one benefits. It's a standstill. So peace is very important. And for Singapore, such a small country, a dot, right? A little red dot. Peace is so important so that we might get the investors or investment and things might work, right? And then we can move forward. And that's why I understand why the Singapore government is very, very careful to make sure, right? No rioting, no violence in the land. Not like what we see in so many other countries. So we must pray. Pray for our government. And pray for ourselves. When we pray for our government, we also pray for ourselves. That there, not only for peace in the land, but also peace in our heart. We are peaceful people. And when there's peace, a lot can be done, right? For God and His kingdom. We must pray for that. So, for kings and for all that are in authority, and it's not just in the country, but also in the church. So, we in the session need your prayers, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Because to lead in the church, we need a lot of grace and a lot of wisdom. Pray for us. Remember your pastors, your elders, deacons in prayer. That we might live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that we might be a good testimony for those outside. Might serve the Lord in an honest and honorable way so that He will be glorified. So that's what we pray. And that's why, right, we pray for. That is for this, for such peaceful conditions in our life, so that we might do God's work and God's will. Well, that's what we learn from here. And may the Lord help us to fulfill this. Yes, God is sovereign, but we are also responsible. And we are responsible to do all these things, to supplicate, to pray worshipfully, and pray only to Him, to intercede for one another, and to always do so with thanksgiving. And may the Lord bless us with His peace, peace in our heart, in our mind, in our life, so that we might fulfill His holy purpose for us.